I'm 100% sure, but I'm not having crashes at the moment. So what I'm having is, so we had a long problem about not finding out why the time syncing up between the relative time in a sort of in a summarized section and the absolute time didn't correspond and stuff, and we found it was some stupid, well, at the moment our best guess is that it was some stupid Java thing about if you have two objects and you say object, if you say A equals B, they actually reference to the same thing. So any changes you make to one are made to the other. And if you do that around five corners, you lose track of it and you suddenly wonder why that value is zero. And it turns out it is zero because it's the same thing that you. Anyway, so we figured out. It's interesting. Why don't I have a screen here now? Actually, that's new, but that's okay.
What's the
It's
problem?
doing different things all the time. Like, this is the first
Well,
time
now
that
you
I
don't have
actually.
it on your screen.
But that should be okay. That should be okay. I'll be able to.
Normally, at least on Windows machines, it goes through a cycle. So if you press whatever the key combination
Yeah, but
you
last
press
time I pressed
is.
the key combination, everything went wrong, and I think I'll be able to do it just fine on the screen, so that'll
Oh.
probably keep me from pointing on my
But
screen, which I usually.
now it's not showing
It
anything.
might just be at this point, like there's sometimes a point in loading, not usually that long. Well, let's see. Anyway, so let's just see what happens. In the end, we did get it working.
Maybe try the
Yeah.
key combination again. With the Windows machines, there's a cycle, so that if you press it once, you get it on both your screen and the projector. Another time, it takes it off your
So
screen
now I'm having a complete mess of like
and another time.
split screens and stuff. I think last time.
Oops. Oh
Yes, but
well.
that's not what we want, is it?
No.
So, but I think this is a logout command and usually it resets this.
So
Amazing strange color combinations I see in front of
wow.
me at the moment.
Do you want to try rebooting? That seemed to work before, didn't it?
Yeah, we somehow always get it working but in different ways every time. So that kept us like basically from doing anything else for quite some time in the last day because we were hunting down that stupid error. I got it fixed in the last whatever 1 hour or something, but so at the moment the program is sort of in between working and not working because we've done lots of changes to try what the error was. Dave, I think actually that the summary at the current moment isn't working 100% correct. But that could be because of the input data. It seems to
Let's
just take the
longer
first
thing.
Utterances more or less.
Just do it on there.
I have to
Yeah, but
check
you
that
can move
out.
it up a bit
Like
and see if you're closer to
first if
the
you read through the summaries,
should be
they read
okay.
suspiciously fluid, like as in people's questions and answers, and then if you plot them on the screen where they are at the moment, they
Well, it
seem to all.
depends which data you use as well, because if you use the data where they're all written by, it does prefer ones from the beginning because it just picks the
Yes.
first ones it finds.
So maybe that's where the problem is coming from.
But I'll check it out anyway.
Yeah. So this is when you start shifting around your laptop to think that it gets somehow less sloped on the screen. So I'm not really sure what this meeting is about, to be honest. I'm going to show this just what we have at the moment, but it's not going to look very different from what we had last time. Don't ask me what happened to the promise that you will get your script where you can use your own stuff, because actually that was sort of ready, but then we sort of started trying to get something more working, and then we got into big problems. So at the moment, I mean, again, we should be at a state where people can load their own script.
I've got time now, like, for the next couple of days, so I'll do some of it. But I was just too busy last week.
Thing is, at the moment, it's just really bad for me. But from Monday on, I can just do 24/7 for this one until it's due. But until Monday, it's going to be really bad. Like, it can probably help people if they have problems with getting what we have running now, but let's see.
All right, let me know if you finished.
Okay. So I'll just start up what we have now, and then we can talk about what different people have and stuff.
What's that that's creeping over the
Sorry.
screen?
Huh?
Doesn't look great, really.
Eek! Yeah, it doesn't. But sometimes you have to take whatever you get and just see how far that gets you.
That's really weird because it just started creeping over.
Yeah, so let's perhaps in the meantime talk about the
numbers really assigned to the dialogue acts, because yeah, I didn't know that you left out those who don't have words, so I just extracted the actual dialect numbers. And the problem is, it's perhaps more dangerous to get mistaken with all those numbers and not knowing why things happen if we just leave out numbers and make new.
Well, as long as the team corresponds, then
yeah, sure, but I mean, for all those numbers that are based on words, I can automatically just throw those where it's nothing, but those dialects are like 33 in the first meeting.
Mm.
They have a duration, even though they don't have a word. So for my other measures, I get them, and I don't, I mean, I would have to look for every single program that looks for every single number and does the magnitude.
Would it be easier if there's a reference file with the actual real ID and the corresponding
yes.
number?
Yeah,
so
there's index files already.
Is there somewhere?
Yeah.
More what?
Yeah, in the Rockx index directory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like where you can map between the different IDs.
So that's all the problem, basically.
Yeah, I just wondering why do you think it's necessary at all to do that?
Because the whole program works on them being numbered at the moment.
Yeah, and it's a problem if there's no.
It'd be a lot of work for really no extra feature gained at all.
But actually, I think there is something in the audio, shouldn't there? If there's even though there's not a word, I think in the audio there will be something at that point because it has a duration.
Well, so you think it could appear in the summary?
Hmm?
Or if there's something in the audio that's just like a noise, and then we don't want it.
Yeah, yeah. So you can't show it in the display.
You cut it
out.
Yeah, but you cut out the ones that don't have any words, I suppose.
But would that not happen at some, sorry, I'm jumping in, would that not happen at summarization anyway, even if they're in, they're like, would the ones that have no words and then not have really low information density or something?
I don't know. Because the thing is, it depends if we want to have it display the whole thing at once.
Because you'd reckon that you could leave them in and they would never show up in a summary anyway.
If you left them in, like, it wouldn't affect the way the program works.
Yeah,
but
why do we have
the
special handling
for those? Well, my guys in the program, it's just they're not in the raw text.
It's just because they're a blank line. It seems a bit. But I could put them back in.
Yeah, it's
well,
just a question I wanted to ask.
Either way is fine for me, as long as the two things tie up, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't really matter whether those are in or not.
Well, wouldn't you think that if you just write the program the way that even the way that it displays everything, it still leaves those out? Like, if you give those a special information density ID, or it just put it
in minus one or something.
Yes, something like that. And then just make sure that summary, even in the,
yeah,
in the most summarized mode, just never puts them in.
Might be a problem for me at this stage right now, because I based everything on not having those.
Actually,
yeah,
it's just a TF IDF in a sense.
Yeah, my topic segment doesn't like quite like
so maybe we should just omit them.
What I also did was having two people annotate the first meeting, and so they didn't annotate the spaces and everything would mess up. I think if I had spaces for the new value, so when I want to do correlation, it wouldn't work anymore.
Okay, so maybe we should leave them out there.
Okay, shall we take a quick look at the current
system? What I could do is work further with what I've got now, and then just when I have my final formula ready to apply it to the new stuff.
So, by now, how did you assign the dialect number? Did you take the one you found in the
in the XML file and just, you know, put it there, or did you? No, my IDF is based on Collins data, so I end up with the same
one.
Okay, you end up with six.
Yeah, it is actually.
Okay.
I just jumped in now. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Oh, so the summary is probably okay, because it does.
Yeah, please get to summarize just now. It's just it summarizes stupidly, but at least it's jumping.
Yeah.
Is it still the old?
Yes, and in fact, at the moment, I don't even know which of the two I'm summarizing over. Do you know?
I can't remember which one it is at the moment.
So at the moment, the configuration is that word importance file is test 3 and TDIDF file is test 2. I've just switched them around, so I have no clue what we're actually doing at the moment.
Those names are misleading. Well, the TFIDF is completely misleading.
Especially since I've just switched them around anyway. But that's okay. By the way, I read a paper which makes an important point about combining two things of that type. It's going all about this fancy geometric mean, which effectively just means multiplying them. But I have some good information about different ways how you can sort of weight two different factors, because it's for something very similar. Somebody who tried to solve a very similar problem, but they also had two factors and they wanted to weigh them together. And there's like a good justifiable reason why we should do it in a certain way, and how we can then, with a simple parameter, adjust how much one weighs and how much the other weighs. So there is something for just for putting them together in a relatively simple way, but still a way that we can sort of justify.
Mm-hmm.
We can code stuff on that.
Is
yeah, shall
very
we?
Very complex. Or
no, it's multiplying them.
Yeah. Just multiplying them.
And like putting them one over the power of something and the other over minus
I've
one.
Seen that before.
One minus the power of something, and that sort of. And they've plotted some graphs about like where they show like one going from 0 to the one and the other going 0 to 1, and like how the landscape changes, how the parameter changes, how it works. So it's quite good.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So that's probably seeing that we're probably not going to go into any whatever base, blah blah blah, macro model, blah 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 about combining them.
No.
That's probably what we could go with. Now this is still not ideal at the moment, David. It's sort of it's overrunning. Like it's okay. So
yeah.
At the moment we're that far that if I now click onto a segment here.
Oh, it's all working like it should be.
Yeah, it's just great. Sorry, I just resized it. Yes, it's like the values are sort of hard coded for the screen sizes and dice and screen smaller. So let's see, I was a stupid user and was clicking on this segment. You probably have to make the segment lines a lot bigger. So then did I get a new summarization? Yeah, I didn't actually see, so I can look like a different one.
Yeah,
so you see it's a different text. And you see
it's
running through it, and you see the indicator in where we are is jumping.
Yeah.
So it's skipping stuff. Now, I don't think the summary at the moment is what we want it to be, seeing the word like, oh, and exactly right.
It's your ancient data,
this seems probably, this is again probably the opposite of what we want, so it's probably some value that you have to like divide by one divide by the value or something. But
how is it that it's picking out some interesting stuff? Like we're looking at Atlas, you'd expect to score quite.
Yes, but also every other word in that sentence, we should look at, are probably in your list of 50 like least important words in the universe. So yes, but it's probably just because if you look at the other one, like this is just their best sentence for like having function words in a row, sort of. And every other, I mean, this one is sort of they're developing a big infrastructure. So maybe it's just doing it randomly at the moment. I don't know. But we have some summary working, and that's a good basis to start from. I promise now that you'll get something where you can get your own data, and it's so ringing.
I'm just quite surprised it all actually worked, because we've been working on like incomplete versions that haven't worked for a long time.
Yeah.
And to see it all come together.
Yeah, still it's might be having some problem. I think this one overran just before, so we might still have some problem here that it's not stopping at the end. But so Dave, can you make the promise? I'm not making the promise realistically that the girls will very soon get.
Yeah, I'll do. First thing I'll do is make a load box for selecting.
Okay. Yeah.
And a script that sets the class path, so it can be run just a script. So class path is like this.
So at the moment, I've hard coded it to just taking 1/10 of the number of utterances which were in the original selection.
But we don't have parameters for that.
Yeah. It actually gives you an error if you put it to 20, because there's some things in there which are shorter than 20. And if you select those, then it's setting
up. We need to add some sanity checking in somewhere.
But I think like a proportional one is probably no bad idea. That's, I mean, an absolute length is sort of a bit strange because that means that some utterances will not be changed in length. I know we had that discussion before and I'm confused myself about what I think about it. So the fact that this is going on beyond that green line here is something that's not ideal, but that's something we have to sort out. But this is working in general. Does anyone have a general overview of the whole time issue, like, as in, what date is it today? What date do we have to have this presented? What day of the week is that? And issues like that. So the presentation is now.
The presentation is exactly in 2 weeks.
Mm.
2 weeks from today. Okay. 1 week from today, I shall hear the freedom ring from the hills and everything, and shall then throw myself into new slavery.
I think we should start to think about evaluation by now. I mean, if you want to have some people.
We don't need it evaluated for the presentation. Maybe.
Yeah, but it's just 3 days between the presentation and
the. Oh, because it's moved back.
Yeah.
No, really?
Yeah.
And the report?
Yeah.
I can write people in, bring a few people at least.
Do you think we're going to have time?
Yeah, I think we should have take
as
the
long
time
as we
because
design
I think
it
will be.
As long as we design it beforehand, I think we can probably manage to actually do it in 3 days after.
We also have to write the thing. That time.
Writing the report won't be so bad. How long is it expected to be?
I don't know. It's 50% of the mark.
I know, but if everyone, like if everyone is managing 3 pages for their bit, then that's going to be that. That's a big report then.
Yeah.
Stuff, so. Yeah, but evaluation.
We should probably write some user documentation because I bet that'll get us marks.
Yeah.
You think? Or like integrate tooltips, that would be visible.
Yeah, got a basic search one. It's got a user interface. So.
Have you dropped it off?
No.
And also, where is it?
It's still in my directory.
Because the
your directory.
Code version in the group directory is not the right
one. I've not been using that. Yeah, just been taking the class files from your directory.
Okay.
Having said that, Dave, you could probably, if you want, you could probably go back to the group directory and just use this trick. It really seems to be all about starting in the
directory.
But I mean, if the two of us are just working on it, it doesn't make a difference, because I've already mounted the other directory now, so.
Okay. Well, we should wait till we have it ready for you guys to use, and we'll put it back in the group directory.
Mm.
So I'll try and do that today, because I've got time today. And as long as I don't run into problems, I don't see it taking too long.
The summarization again, you wanted to base it on sentence length as well, and I've got sentence length incorporated into my importance measure at the moment.
Well, in that case, that's probably fine. I mean,
okay. But if we could apply it when it comes to our sense, how exactly we want to implement
it. I'm not sure how much should be done in the program, because I don't know. I think it should probably be done offline.
What?
The basic combining of all factors.
Well, if it's just multiplying two numbers, it can be done in the program. Then we
sure.
Because what we could do is have a slide where we can adjust this value. Actually, if you can figure out a way, like how. Basically, a general way, because there's at least 2 points at which we are interested in that, how we can just have a slide bar which we can read and write, which is in a frame of that type. That would be good. It shouldn't be difficult, should it? I mean,
hopefully we can take over that rate one, because we don't need it.
But it might be more difficult. Let's see. You could, if you're lucky, you probably just have to extend that class, and then you can work with that value. But if you're unlucky, it might be quicker to just write a very simple string component, which is just a bar.
You can just add it to the panel. Like what? bet that's a pre-made swing component, that little slider, and all you do is add it to a panel.
Yeah. So because we basically, it would be good to have two different ones to play around with. One for controlling the length of the summary, and another one for the merging factor, if we do it that way with the geometric.
Can you send me a link to that paper so that I'll implement that in some manner?
Yeah. It's just a single formula effectively, yeah. How's the audio thing going? Is that you've probably not had time to work in there?
Yeah, like last week it's not going really. But I can't see it taking long again.
Okay, it seems that at the moment a lot of the stuff that has to be done is sort of at the moment I'm saying, oh Dave, can you do this? But that's not ideal.
But to be honest, I've been like nothing really on it last week, so I've got time today, tomorrow, and probably Friday.
Okay.
So
I think, I mean, the audio is, in the end, the audio is a very important component of it. Just because it's going to look stupid if you have everything working, but just...
It's just annoying, because I need to do that on the DICE machines. I can't get them to compile on the Windows.
The speech tools?
Yeah. And most of the DICE machines don't have working sound cards, so...
Is there any way for exporting sound?
No idea.
Because that would be sort of the nice way to sit at home and have it forward the sound at the lowest bit rate to you. I mean, seeing that it's over broadband, it's forwarding the graphics quite okay. It would probably, like, broadband wise, bandwidth wise, probably work out.
I'm not sure if it can do sound or not.
But it's probably not a simple thing.
But like, what I can do is. I'm pretty confident that it will just be writing a script and it will just go. And as long as I can test the script like once, it's working fine. I can just make it return dummy stuff so it works on other machines.
Are you not creating files anyway, like sort of real files?
Yes. So,
so that you can do it at a DICE machine independently?
Well, actually, I know what I can do. I can change the script, so if I'm using my one at home, can just add SSH stuff in to evoke the sound tools on the ICE and then copy
in
that.
One problem with SSH in general is that the machine that, like the only gateway machines, they hate you for doing anything on them.
Yeah.
And there's no simple way, at least I haven't found one, to directly in a single step sort of SSH and then SSH again. Actually, I guess if you put SSH and you can give a command out right after the word SSH. So if that command is SSH again, and if you, that would require that you have all your key files set correctly, which I haven't, because it always fucks up on my system. Maybe if you get that working, then you should be able to directly go into another machine.
I'm sure I can figure out something for
that. Yeah.
If it comes to it, I'll just install NetBeans and stuff on my Linux machine and work on that.
Because a primitive version of the sound to have relatively soon would be good.
To be honest, there won't be a primitive in between stage.
Okay. They'll
just
work. Okay.
Hopefully.
Okay.
In theory, at least.
So to come back to the problem we had before, so the reason why the summary didn't work well in the last one and works well now is because based on the bottom data, the data is so homogeneously high in its importance rating that it's just sort of then everything else being equal to the first ones, more or less. But now it's working better because now it's on a much more evenly distributed.
I wonder if we should do something like dropping the bottom third and remapping the lowest remaining one to zero and scaling it like that.
Well,
so you get a much nicer distribution like that.
The most professional way of doing it would be to map them according to the standard deviation, because that way it would automatically always... It's sort of like, it's the problem is it's more calculation expensive and slightly more complicated, even though it's actually, like, in terms of calculation, it's not much heavier, but like, you know, generally about standard deviation.
I'm not used to do that.
It's a very simple formula, basically just whatever the average of mean square difference from the mean, which the problem with it is that generally you first have to get the mean, and only once you have the mean you know what
there is a way of calculating it
in one go.
Yeah,
I've derived that.
I've
derived that myself. Like, I didn't find it, so I did it myself, and it took me a day with the formula, but then I'm slow at maths. So the good thing about that would be that if you simply say that whatever one standard deviation below the mean is zero and one standard deviation above the mean is one or two standard deviations or something, then whatever the data is like, it would always normalize.
Yeah, that's probably quite a good idea.
Yeah, it's not the simplest, but that's the most professional way I can think about it. That would indirectly also drop stuff. I mean, that would drop whatever is below.
Yeah, that's probably quite sensible.
So if you find that formula, that would be good. Otherwise, I can see if I can still understand, like I did it in my program. It's really stupid, like the standard deviation formula just requires you to have the mean initially, and that makes some things exactly twice as computationally expensive. And there is a way of doing it
Yeah, I can't remember it offhand, but I know there is one.
So, yeah, so that's one possible way of doing that. So
it could be. Running out of data twice, probably.
That's just in the loading stage, right? Yeah, that should actually be fine, especially in the worst case, we just introduce a small hourglass. But anyway, we're only going to present this once, and we can probably just like sort of start it up before the presentation starts. So yes, you shouldn't at all be worried about it. It's quite beautiful. It's like if you want a program only to run once and only a part of it, you don't worry if it crashes afterwards. If it wastes all the resources, the format of the hard disk can get. Anyway, I'm rambling on.
Ours never closes the process.
No, that's not it. I changed it.
You used to not close the process when you put the cross.
You would forget that. That means that you would start it 15 times over and have 15 zombies running. Does anyone know anything about which dice machines have sound cards and how to find them? Because
no.
The thing is, we can't, like this at the moment, it's working because it has a sound card. The interesting thing is that because of the structure of this, it isn't enough to just say, well, if you don't have sound, but you don't have sound. At least I think that's what I remember our problem was.
Yeah, it refuses to load the clock for some reason.
So I've worked around it. There is ways, I think, to get around it, but the problem is, so you basically have to have two code versions, then one for sound card and one for non-sound card machines to test it on, because you have to change all sorts of other things if you don't have a sound card. So there isn't a simple way to just tell which ones the sound card machines are, just to use sound card machines instead.
Yeah. That makes it really quite difficult for us if we want to test our stuff and first have to fight for a computer.
No, but I guess, if you trust in Dave's summary for the audio, just putting all these things into sound and having a written summary.
I just care for the written one.
You still get the written one.
So
okay,
I think that really the easiest way is if you just make a sound card and a non-sound card version of it. Because
I don't think we should bother, because we'll run it on the sound card version.
Yeah, but then that means that the girls can't test it. That's the problem.
Yes, we can. And all that happens, it refuses to load the clock. You still get the display.
But without the clock, you don't have... Well, actually, you're right. It doesn't strictly have to do any movement.
So, you can still click on the segment, and that is still...
Yeah, but we have to comment stuff out for that. I think, like at the moment, if you click on a segment, it automatically sets the whole clock thing going and stuff, so we have to comment out stuff. That's what I'm saying, that there is. We could make it a flag, couldn't we? We could just make it a runtime flag and then make a few ifs and say if.
There must be a way of detecting the clock loading. Right?
Yes.
There is. You try and set something on the clock and use try and catch, and then if you catch the exception, you set the flag.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's something we should probably do in one way or another, because it seems just that the overwhelming majority of dice machines don't have sound cards.
Okay, we want to have a look at the agreement and disagreement data that I worked on last week. Or do you have anything more on this?
No, nothing too much to talk about this. So apart from like a search box and the similarity thing, once that kicks off, this is more or less in the end, like this is very similar to what our product will look like in the end. seeing that realistically with a given time frame we're not going to do amazing new things from now on. So we hopefully
get perhaps my list of agreements. Perhaps my list of agreements somewhere.
List of agreements?
Yeah.
Well,
if we find them good enough.
Okay.
We
yeah.
To provide that an extra list saying probably.
Yeah, I think it would be good in the display to annotate them in the display.
Yeah, for example, yeah.
Yeah, we could just
make click on a point in time.
Not just yet, but that should, that's probably the only thing I can say I can do this week, because that should be, I mean, I'll do it in an inefficient way, I'll effectively sort of go through all the segments and check if they're clicked on, but I think, Dave, what we should do is that time tick of the clock, I think that's changeable, and I think we should probably increase that, because at the moment it's 0.1 seconds, and that's just, there's some background noise when it's working, and I think that is because it's like doing so much every time.
No, I don't get that on my machine.
Yeah, it's probably because I'm not sure if you have the version with the display yet, where the display is actually updating up here when it's moving on. So I mean, yes, it is because my display is programmed inefficiently, but I think with a given time constraints, it's probably easier instead of making a very efficient display code to just make the time, make the clock, whatever, 0.5 seconds or something. Do you want to monitor?
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can skip more accurately than the time steps, that's fine. Because otherwise you might risk cutting bits off.
If I can skip more accurately, then...
Like, if you want to jump to a point, you need to be able to jump more accurately than a half second. Like, a half second, you miss words.
Still with that idea that we want to display bars for the individual speakers.
Yeah.
And also explain
too small, but I don't know why that is.
Oh yeah, I can. Yeah, I can.
It's probably because it's coming from my resolution, and it's even much higher resolutions.
Yeah, that's because it's widescreen or something. Yeah. Good. Okay. What you see here in this part is. Here is a list of the most important or the most probable words that occur in agreement. So the number in the first brackets is. So I run it on all the BED, BMR, and BRO meetings to learn it. So the number in the first brackets is how often it occurred in the utterances that were annotated as agreements by the dialogue act agreement. And the number in the second brackets is how much it occurred in the rest. And the first number in every line is how much more often that is per same. Same text length. So the words that it gives are look quite good, I think. It's exciting, perfect, true, interesting, exactly, correct, super, and so on. And then I run it on the first meeting, getting what's in the bracket in this window here is the utterances, and at the moment it can't make any differences you get the same value for every utterance that is exactly or every utterance that is short. And for the longer utterances I just look how often one of these words is in there and simply add it up. So that should, in principle, favor longer utterances. And so these numbers here, 1 or 0, these here, and that's the dialogue act labels, whether it's, if they're annotated as agreement
they're not zero here. So here, for those who get a very high score, they're mostly not zero. And some of those who are zero are still very good. Like, I definitely agree. It's a nice kind of agreement that we probably want to have. And when you get further down, you see those who have very low score also have no agreements.
Again, I think that's probably good. Part if we had a slide bar initially where we could dynamically adapt the threshold of work. Yes, so maybe it's just like maybe it's just good to have like some generic component with three slide bars or something where we can relatively easily add a fourth one or something, you know, and just like sort of all our fiddle factors.
Obviously, we'll hide that in the presentation.
But well, it depends. We could make in some cases, we could put it as a feature and say, you know, you can dynamically.
Like I don't think we want to have exposure to the user doing things like adding the threshold of which
we wouldn't call it threshold, but it would be sort of like the granularity of decision or something like it. So
decision factor.
and everything above that threshold, I could then at the occurrence where it occurs, just put a certain graphical item, like a handshake or something.
That does look quite promising.
So it looks quite good, I think. So that's what I got for agreement, and then for disagreement, I did ask, but it's a bit more difficult because there's so little disagreement. So there you again see the list, but it's much shorter and it's
the same. Like it's so tempting. yellow smiles and yellow angry faces. beautiful.
And that is here the list of utterances it gets us for the first meeting.
Didn't somebody say that actually like a lot of agreements have actual words which are such as disagreement, like?
Yeah, I mean I think that's why we have but write it so high here.
Yeah. That makes sense. So can you
think is also write it higher in the non-agreement than in the agreement.
So
and
we have produced basically an agreement and a disagreement score for every dialogue act.
Yes. Yeah, that's
so can you put them in the same format as the other data?
Yeah, it's just it's exactly this thing, but just I would just have to rescale this factor here. And I mean this is the dialogue I've done this. So.
Alright, okay. So I can probably read it from
I can just give it to you in the format you want. So
my preferred would be dialogue act number.
And then the score, this was
you
just
can put
for
both the scores in one file.
Huh?
You put both the scores in one file and it makes it easier.
If they're corresponding for each thing, there should be. Right? So for each utterance you have one
agreement
and one disagreement.
Yeah.
So I'll read that into I'll make it part of the get measure thing, so you can just get it with a flag using get measure.
Okay, yeah. The one
so you know how zero is TF, IDF, one is the. Well,
yeah.
I've called it word importance, so that's a really.
You know what? If you can.
Misleading name.
If you introduce like sort of a static, what's it called? Public static int, so basically a constant, like the stepstone constant, give them names, like so zero, TDIDF, one. That probably makes the code a lot more readable for everybody who's playing around with it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So just like whatever three means agreement value, and then I just write something agreement, and then it's easier to understand for both of us what's going on.
Yeah.
One problem I still have is with all the years, because I mean, obviously they all write it the same. So I was thinking perhaps at looking at the acoustic measures I have, so for example at my F0 deviation, but by now I just had a look at the year data, and actually the average F0 deviation is only slightly higher for the positive ones than for the negative ones. I mean there is a difference, but it's probably not significant enough to really make use of it. But
I would also
investigate some.
But
times
I would also.
Yeah, it's occurring not only as an agreement, but really frequently as like an encouragement as well.
Yeah, so and my hypothesis was that if it's really, like agreement, it will sound different than if it is just a back channel.
But you know what, I think we should put the threshold for that one in the end quite high anyways. It probably doesn't make much of a difference because I think this thing.
But that has nothing to do with the threshold.
No,
because
like
you don't have it only with yes, you have it also with words that are much higher ranked. You have the same problem, like for example, with yep is much higher ranked because it occurs less often in the training thing.
But I mean, the fact that different ones have the same number in itself isn't a problem, is it?
No, it's only if they're used in different contexts.
So if for every yep you'd be sure that it's an agreement, then that wouldn't be a problem. So you're saying that you're not sure if every yep is an agreement anymore?
Yes, I know that not every yep is an agreement because this right yep and okay things are typically also backchannels.
And what's the highest ranked one that kind of problem occurs with? Because if it's below about, because I saw those ones up in the 80s, isn't that? Maybe it's below like 50.
Yeah, but you would throw a lot away that are quite good.
Because on the display we probably take quite high, so it only matter if it occurs on ones that are really highly ranked.
So over how many different, over which length is this now? This is like, so the third column is the utterance where it occurs, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I think we really do have to put the threshold quite high then, because
well, otherwise you'd get icons all over.
Yes, because I was just checking, like, how far apart are they? And at the moment, that's definitely not a good thing to display if they're, like, an average 10 utterances apart.
Yeah.
So we would probably want to take a threshold at least at 50 or 60, just as a looking at that.
I think for this meeting, there were, around 90 annotated agreements, agreement dialogue acts.
So we probably want to display 90. We'd want to rate them, of course.
I mean, the best ones are definitely those on the first screen here. So
again, I'd say probably a good way of going about that question is to have control which we can vary in the
yeah, so
and then just sort of, because that's in the end how it's going to be evaluated. You know, in the end, this is kind of like, I mean, you're going to present it and say, yeah, so this is how it shows this agreement, and then you see what looks good and what looks, I think probably looks credible if like if every sort of every topic segment has
agreement
at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 Like something in between 3 and 5 agreements, but not more, probably maybe less, but not much less. And actually, I think there doesn't have to be one in everything.
Yeah. Probably have to plot them because some of them are also, I mean, this is just added by different speakers, for example, where you need to keep following one another, but it's just 2 speakers agreeing, I think. Same for this one here.
So yeah, we probably want to merge ones that are very close.
I mean, they will be optically merged anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, but maybe in an expensive way, or maybe in a stupid looking way though.
We should probably make some logic when it displays it.
Yeah.
So if those ones very close together. It just
I was just thinking that kind of just can probably be done in display level.
It's looking quite good though.
This one crashed. Mine just crashed. Yeah. Which is bad. We probably just kept on playing and now reached somewhere.
I think it's always really funny that when you look at people's computers, you don't use a computer much. Their desktop's really tidy. And when you look at people, you use it all the time. There's stuff everywhere. So drawings on that as well.
I only keep the stuff I actually need on it, and then I clean it up every, you know, every
My
week.
God.
But actually, this all here is an SSD because it was data that didn't fit on my quota anymore.
So, John, you wanted to keep us for each topic segment or something?
Yeah.
Who provides the values for it?
I think sort of the bottom line in which might well end up what it's going to be like is that we take the single highest rank utterance and put that as a title, like realistically looking at this from the time we have left to do this and stuff.
Because what I do is having values for each segment at the moment, so I could just extract the highest ones for each segment.
Yes.
I don't know if that's good, but at least I could provide some value.
Yeah, maybe on a single, is that on a word basis, would that be single words, or would that be...
It doesn't matter to me.
Check out what they would be like on a word basis. Maybe actually if there's one word which is very typical, I mean, it's probably somewhere like because that's like the only time that was spelled with 3 A and stuff. I think that actually that might be a problem of the whole annotation, that if they aren't exactly consistent in how they transcribe stuff like that we're probably...
With the rules and so on.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking sometimes, like why is high, but then probably it's the only time that was spelled with a dot at the end and stuff. So, but yeah, like if single.
Maybe we should download a dictionary and check our utterances before we listen to make sure that they're actually real words.
I have dictionaries. If it's just like I have arbitrarily long lists from the British National Corpus of when you
that do not include
well, let's say at least that is consistently enough that I think you can filter them out fairly well.
Yeah, I mean, see how it turns out. If they look good, then that's a good way of doing it as any of those ways.
Yeah, so if the single best one word for a second. It's interesting, that would be really good.
Actually, one thing you should do is take the highest three or four and then just merge them together into one utterance.
Use
it
wouldn't
make any sense, but it would give you an idea of what they're actually talking about. If you see what I mean.
So we're going backwards, you know, suddenly it's crashed. Yeah, I mean that was sort of in the original content in the nice fancy drawings that we gave Stephen. I mean that was part of it, that sort of within a segment you had these sub segments that each of them had different words and whatever had proud dreams.
Yeah.
Other assignments. No, I don't think we have.
Which is a shame. It's a really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, are we gonna have time to make it display like a whole archive of meetings? Or is it just going to be displaying a single meeting and we will go
at the moment? It doesn't really care how many meetings it's displaying.
Poor man's solution is probably going to be to have a
just
list.
Draw a big black line on the borders, I think.
Mm.
Oh, so you're thinking of loading them all at once?
Well, you can if you want to.
Yeah.
It can display from any options to any other options. It doesn't really.
Yeah, see, at the moment, the dialogue I can see. You start at zero for each meeting. You don't run continuously.
Uh-huh.
But you'd like them to run
continuously.
Yeah.
You
change the index
factor.
Okay.
Because that way, all we have to do for this way one meeting is have a harder boundary drawn.
Yeah. I think that, like, the drawings we changed anyway, that it's not pretty optimal. So performance-wise, it generally works fine. For the display, it shouldn't make much of a difference, because I think everything in the display code is just from the first one to the last one displayed, so if the other performance is okay, then we should really just load the whole thing in.
One thing we will have to do is we really want a different behavior if we clicked on the whole meeting. displayed. It should, if you click even on one of the segments in that meeting, I think it should reinitialize and display that just that meeting. I'm not sure how easy that would be to do.
See, that probably just means that the display sort of has an internal knowledge about what level of zoom it has. So initially the display...
It just needs to know whether it's displaying more than one whole meeting, doesn't it? That's the only knowledge it would need.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, we can sort that out if we have
yeah.
time. Or you've got
That's probably fairly simple to do, actually. If we do it in that most primitive way of just saying as long as you display more than one meeting.
Yeah. That gets sufficient to claim that we've implemented some kind of zoom as well.
Yeah. We then need some way of getting back up again in the hierarchy, but then in the worst case it will just be a static sort of error button in the right hand upper corner of the display, and you press that and then you're on the display the whole thing again. But for that at the moment my display code needs that thing to work, the one, oh no, that's working at the moment anyway, the one that I just say, give me 100 values over that length, and then you're internally.
Yeah, it's not done in a very clever way.
Okay, but yeah, but that's okay, as long as my display, I was just thinking my display can't handle displaying a million different seconds, but now, no, but it doesn't have to. Even now it doesn't have to. Okay, well that's all details. So, Dave, can you just turn this, what we have right now,
basically,
do you want me to put a search in too?
I'll probably tonight just work on getting a frozen version that works
right.
consistently.
Yeah.
And if you could document that for me, that's probably enough for me to edit it in. Unless you want to.
And if
you want my code,
yeah.
I've not documented the program manager class, so it's a bit heavy at the moment, isn't it?
Anyone feels that they have free time? This is a joke. One thing that would be convenient for all sorts of things in which I haven't found out about it is how to do tooltips in an arbitrary way in Swing graphic displays. Now, there are simple ways of doing tooltips over a given element, like if it's a button and you just give it a tooltip text, but there is means of doing tooltips that just, like, I put my mouse over, let's say I put my mouse over this line here and then it would tell me something about what it is. And that would be quite convenient for a lot of things because then we can sort of have a lot of information in the display in the way that just when the mouse is over it, but I haven't figured out how it works, and that's something that probably, so if everyone is ever bored or if anyone feels that they can do that.
Okay, so probably what you'd want to do is detect where the mouse is and change the default tooltip for that component.
Yes.
Because it automatically displays at the correct position when you hover.
Yeah, but The thing is, it isn't simply an act of setting a string default tooltip. There seems to be something about a tooltip object that you have to create and give it all sorts of different properties and stuff. Or
you might not really want to be creating a new one every time you move the mouse.
So anyway, I haven't looked much into that. So if anybody looks into that, then let me know. Otherwise, I'll start looking into it as soon as I have time again. But if anybody...
I'll have a look through some of my JavaScripts because it might be a sort of thing that happens.
Yeah. I found some stuff about it on the web and it should look to me like proper coding. Like I saw half page code samples which effectively just displayed a tooltip, and I didn't have the time at that point to get deeper into that. So if anybody gets any good samples of that. Anyway, is that it for now? No, but I'm going up in the tower now and I have my external hard disk so I can.
So I'll stop working.
Yeah. Is there any dice machines in this building?
Mm-hmm.
Freely accessible for me. Can you show me where? Because I'm actually not going to have a tower at the moment, so I don't need to go out there. Actually, no, but I have to go there anyway. I put a piece of paper on two machines where some stuff of mine is running. Yeah, and I think like I'll just kick in full time for NLSSD next week, because there's nothing I have to do now. Apart from cognitive modeling, which I think I'm just doing like 5 hours, 3 hours. Can you take a look at that?
Yeah, but not too detailed. So.
Mm. I might just not go for the last question, because usually the last question is what takes half the time and gives you 5% or something. Okay.
Yes, we're going to talk about your evaluation next week.
We really need to get in contact with the other group and see if they want to do a joint evaluation.
Yeah,
so we need to get their email addresses.
Yeah, I think they're on the NLS. Do you write the picture?
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
At
least their names and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you did send me their email, because I was hoping that Steve would mention it to you, because we mentioned it to him so many times, but he obviously hasn't.
No, maybe he has mentioned to them, but they just never talked to us, and we didn't
mm-hmm.
talk to them. So. It's sort of coming as a shock to me now, because I was sort of in this mindset, like, I first knew, oh, there's a lot of time between the presentation and the report, and then I knew, oh, now the presentation has shifted, but the correlation between those two facts, the interdependencies, there's some fancy planning language about that.
There's the frame problem.
Yes, it's probably some version of the frame problem. Frame stuff from and hasn't been clear to me.
I think it's coming together not bad at the moment, actually.
Mm. And by the way, how long, how much time do we have for the presentation?
Probably as long as we need.
Yeah, but more like 20 minutes or more like an hour.
Well, I reckon
I can't see it going on for an hour.
I reckon that
yeah, if you present the components or what it's based on, then you will need more than 20 minutes to present it. Yes.
But if you just present the functionality of the thing, if you're not,
yeah,
like, I don't think this presentation is about the internal workings. So
yeah, it's a demo, basically.
Yeah. So for a demo, I think realistically, since everything in this university sort of works in 1 hour slots and stuff, so if it's two groups, then it probably is going to be roughly a half an hour-ish.
Yeah.
And like 10 minutes of that. Set up time as
well.
10 minutes now before we set up time as well.
No, why? This is going to be so bad. Like, there's going to be some small.
Well, maybe you should present it on your laptop, because we can be really sure it's running.
Yeah, but the performance is really bad at the moment of that.
Mm.
Plus, we would have to get the speech tools running on my laptop.
I could probably get my computer in. I think that sounds good.
Well, let's see. It could just be fluent on the laptop, for all I know. I mean, like, at the moment, it's not too bad. Apart from, I think the sound is stuttering, and that I think because of the laptop. But we can only really judge that once we have sound.
So I need to bring a monitor or anything. I just need to bring a box.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure I could make a lift or something.
How fast is this one going?
900. It doesn't have
Linux. So NetBeans would run on anything but
or Django.
Yes.
In fact, you shouldn't even need either sort of.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
virtual machine should be fine. But it all relies on finding some way of getting the speech tools to do their job.
Oh crap, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so that's because that's the thing, like, that would rely on
Singlet, maybe.
I just thought it was a good idea to run the speech tools in
in Singlet. No, but SIGWIN should run the Java as well.
No. Wherever this is going, this doesn't sound good. Can use my laptop as sort of like as a server, as a sound server, but that would still mean that you have to get the speech tool running on it. Now, you know, I think, I mean, the way Java works is that I think it'll run on their dice machine if we do it.
Yeah.
If we should definitely test it the day before.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll let us say.
Yeah.
Test that before we go.
So Dave, are you going to make something primitive that people can look at their name?
Yeah, I'll do that today. And I'll make a script.
I'm not 100% sure what needs to be changed to make it work with it, to make it not crash if it doesn't sound right. There's quite a bit you have to comment out for that. Just stupid.
It'll be the bit where it creates the clock. Or is there stuff in the display as well?
You know, the thing is the display calls methods probably expect some. So I think if the display itself isn't doing anything clocky. So as long as in the main, in the program manager, everything clocky is removed. But it might be worthwhile to check how much more work it would be to do it over a flag. Because then, in the end, because otherwise you always have two code words and people might be changing the
wrong. Well, really, we shouldn't even need a flag. You should be able to do it with exceptions. I mean, that's this kind of case that exceptions are made for, really.
Yeah, that's true. I know that like if you don't do the exception, you actually get crashes that will figure out. Like,
yeah.
If you don't have a sound code, it crashes if you don't have a sound. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, do you see in the program manager, do you have a method to like, set the current ID, sort of update the display? Because that's what I'm going to need when I'm getting the search results.
Oh no, it's going to have to be something a bit more complicated than that. What it'll have to do is deregister everything.
Mm.
There's time handlers and then update and then re-register them.
Mm. Right.
I think the display has some method for it. Like for the program manager then to call, I'm not actually 100% sure what it's called, but the display has some method where you tell it where to start and where to end. Yeah, that's kind of busy.
Yeah, well, as far as I've got at the moment, I've made a results class that's got like your ID.
Have you got a component for displaying lists and matches?
Sorry. Yeah. Well, I'm working on it.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it's not too hard to do. All you have to do is deregister everything into time handler first,
right,
before you have to start. But it depends what behaviour you've got. Do we want, when you click on a search result, we definitely want that one.
So actually,
Yeah,
then.
And it might not be there.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about maybe a couple.
No, sorry, I was wrong. I was thinking it's exactly the same thing that happens when we say set selection. It's not, but actually, set selection does everything you want, sort of.
Yeah, it sets. If you look at set select.
No, but set selection doesn't update the display, though, because.
Is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't tell the display which part to display, because the display is just called set selection.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because if it's jumped to in the end text area, then you'll display the line will jump, right?
Yeah, but that only works, that at the moment isn't done through our system, that's just done because then the time changes. So actually a time change would automatically put the position of the display in the right hand place. No, but that's not a good idea because that could well be outside the display area then.
And also the real time and play time stuff will change.
Yeah. So
we need to reinitialize.
Yeah, and I think the display has a method for that ready, which is called. Anyway, the display is something useful for that. Something which probably starts with the word set. Yeah, you can set the window start utterance and window end utterance.
Okay. But yeah, we need to do something to ensure that the search result is in the summary.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So we probably want a different summary constructor that takes an additional argument of an ID.
Mm.
And that utterance will always be in the summary.
Tentatively, there's always the method of just giving it a really high score. It's a half, you know, it's just.
Yeah, I suppose.
As long as you then don't, well, probably people wouldn't know.
In some ways, that still doesn't guarantee that it will appear because. If you get enough of them,
the
high score, it prefers the first
one
to sees.
You could put 1.1 when the other ones on the cup to 1.
Yeah, I suppose.
But no, it's not a nice score, I'm just saying.
You could, when you're doing a search, you could just like sort of zoom back out so you've got the full text for that segment or anything rather than a summary. Because that's maybe what you'd want everywhere to use it.
Yeah, probably that's actually true that if you're doing a search, you're usually not interested in a condensed way, but in the. The full thing,
yes.
Anyway.
You can achieve the same.
It would be too complicated to cope with the system if you have to readjust it to a different zoom level to get better results.
Probably.
Yeah,
it would
behave strangely in the eyes of the user.
Would be to make a summary that's the same length as the selection, and that would ensure that the search term came up.
Alright. Yeah.
I think proportion, like I, even though I'm always getting myself confused about this, but I think sort of making the summary length thing generally proportion, like as a proportional factor of its original length is a good way of going about it, because anything with absolute length is sort of stupid, because that means the long, long segment gets to 1% of its length and another one gets to exactly the same length and stuff. So if you're doing it by proportion, then just having 1.0 or something makes it very easy to always end up with. Actually, that's what I'm currently, like the current code just takes a tenth of the summary length.
But we'll have that slightly.
And that's the type of slider that we can actually leave in and like show
that's
functionality.
Useful,
yeah, that's sort of like your level of soon of impending doom. Shall we quit here?
Yeah.
Anything to be discussed? Because I'm gonna copy my stuff over.
And I'll start working on the same tape. I'll be done with it.
Yeah, otherwise you will definitely see me on it then, so
okay.
I'll just
did you go to the CM lecture yesterday?
Oh yeah, I think I didn't actually, well, I sort of was staying because I couldn't really get out of my seat, but I was falling asleep again. No, I don't have it with me now because I left my motor at home.
Did he present anything useful about...
Naive Bayes, it was...
No, I mean about the system we work on, the Weka system.
Well, he started Weka up once, and he sort of went quickly through what you do, but I didn't pay very much attention to that. So it didn't look to me like he wasn't doing an overly thorough instruction to Weka, it was just a 10-minute very quick, this is how you started. And
just look at it, and I was wondering if there was any documentation or anything at all to figure out what.
I think there's quite a few people from courses that have this. I think there's quite a few people who have done courses that do a lot of Weka stuff.
Uh-huh.
So testing might be to team up with those and see if they can make any sense of it. I can't allocate more than like really like half an afternoon to now.